Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
941, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Lovely to have you with us today. Time for the Week in Health. How can we help you get healthy, stay healthy? That's what the segment is all about. And joining us is Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Delner Hospital, Associate Professor, VC Health Equity of the Department of Family and Community Medicine, Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Wheat, we have to find a shorter title for you.
Absolutely.
The segment is practically over just introducing you.
You can just go with program director. It's okay.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you for joining us. Wonderful to have you with us. And wanted to start off this week talking about back to school. You know, small kids are back to school. High schoolers are back. College students are going back. What do parents need to know to get their kids ready to go back to school?
Absolutely. There's so many things to be thinking about in this back to school time. One is making sure that if they have not had their checkups yet, that their kids have been in for their back to school physicals or their annual physicals to make sure all of their paperwork is in order. And that is not just about vaccines. That is about making sure that everything is healthy and normal and that we're catching anything that might be happening in their growth. And then really talking with their kids about hand hygiene and making sure that they're taking precautions when they go back to school, because all of a sudden they're going to be back in classrooms with so many other children that might have viruses and other things. So it's this time of year when we might start to see more colds, more stomach bugs and other things that are coming back.
I was, thinking about, with all the talk about immunization, should you do it, shouldn't you do it? The controversy that's going around all of that. I don't really want to get into the controversy part of it. But it used to be back in the day, you had to have certain immunizations in order to get back into school, to start school. Where are we with that now?
I mean, that still is the case. There are still recommended vaccines that the school system wants to see, and that is really to protect the general health of everyone. We know that we need vaccination levels over a certain amount to help prevent some of the common illnesses that the vaccines are preventing. I'm thinking right now we've seen a lot of pertussis that has gone around in the past year or so, and some of our older kids get the Tdap vaccine, and that helps protect against that. And I think that there might be some illnesses that we are going to see more of that we haven't seen before because of the vaccines. But it is still recommended that children get all of their vaccines per the vaccine schedule. There are some families that might come and ask us to do vaccine waivers. And so that is an individual conversation with the family physician or the pediatrician, but still absolutely recommend having those conversations with your physician.
Vaccination waiver, meaning a parent can go to the school and say, I prefer that my child not be vaccinated?
Generally based on religious preferences, but yes. Or it also might be that there's a health reason why some children aren't able to get vaccinated. And so all of those are things that we talk through and are able to document.
Okay, you talked about, hand washing chats with the kids. I hope that they would do that. It seems like a conversation that you would have with your kids and they would just completely ignore you and go ahead and do whatever they wanted to do anyway. But what about masks and things like that? Is that overkill for kids going back to school?
I think that's a great question. I don't think it's overkill. I think it is a great idea, particularly if your kid is sick, to send them in a mask to help protect other kids, or if you are sick, to be wearing a mask to help protect other people. I think it is okay to not be in masks all of the time, but if you start to notice an outbreak at your school, or if your kid is sick, like I said, to wear a mask then to protect everyone around you. I do think that we saw some benefits of that in decreasing the spread of illnesses, and it is worthwhile to consider.
What about kids who are participating in sports? I know, sports injuries would, fall under the category of keeping your kids healthy this time of year. How much is too much for children going back to school right now?
I think that's a great question. I think that's different for every family and every kid. And I think that it's important to check in again with your physician, your pediatrician, your family physician, and see, are there any risks to your specific child about the sports? And then once getting started, remembering that if they haven't been doing anything all summer, it is hard to just jump into full-scale sports. And so really thinking about ramping up a little bit more slowly, like you might would. If you go from not doing anything to running a marathon, that's not going to go so well. So making sure that the training plans are moving up in a reasonable pace, and talking with your kids' coaches about that. And then the other pieces about it that sometimes we don't think about as much are making sure the kids are getting enough sleep so that they're resting well after the exercise, and making sure that they're getting healthy nutrition so that they're being taken care of as part of that going back to sports.
Let me take a quick break. We'll come right back and talk more with Dr. Wheat. We'll get to your questions on the phone and the text line, 312-981-7200. WGN. Dr. Santina Wheat from Delmar Hospital, Northwestern's Delmar Hospital, with us talking health. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And the 847 area code, Dr. Wheat asks, I'm 50 years old. Should I get a measles vaccine?
That is a great question. You're actually in that age range where it might be recommended. There were not a recommendation for two vaccines when you were young, and so it's very possible that you are not fully immunized. And so that is a good idea and worth talking to your doctor about.
So let's talk vaccines here, because that every single week when we do this segment, the vast majority of questions are about vaccines, COVID vaccines, shingles, you name it. What are the vaccines that everyone should be up to date on right now?
It really depends on the age. There are so many that I really want everyone to be updated on. I really think about the Tdap vaccine right now, as I was mentioning before, because we have seen increased amounts of pertussis around folks who are over 50. I do think about shingles. I think about pneumonia. Those are things that can really take you out a little bit. There's newer recommendations this year for folks who are over 65 and even over 55 to consider getting the RSV vaccine as well. But really following that childhood vaccine schedule can really help keep people safe at school. But as we're adults, we still need to be thinking about especially the tetanus, the pneumonia, and the shingles moving forward.
Yeah. What about hepatitis vaccines? I've been hearing a lot about that lately.
There are some of us that are vaccinated against hepatitis A and hepatitis B. We've really been talking a lot more about hepatitis B in adults recently. It is part of our childhood vaccine schedule now, but even when I was a child, that was not a thing. And so there's a lot of adults that don't have that one. And so particularly if you have other conditions, like if you have liver disease or if you have diabetes, and it's a conversation to be having with your doctor about getting the hepatitis B vaccine. The hepatitis A vaccine is also often recommended, particularly if you work in certain spaces or if you're traveling to certain countries, and it's worth getting that one too. And those are either 2 or 3 dose series, and so they can take a little bit to finish them off.
What's the difference between hepatitis A and B?
So they're both viruses, but the way that you get them is different. So the hepatitis A vaccine, you're more likely to get by potentially eating things. It's one that's spread more from transmission when you're exposed to like dirty water or maybe people who are daycare workers changing diapers, things like that. Hepatitis B is more likely to be spread through blood. And so that's more, I worry about folks who are potentially injecting insulin or doing other things like that. And so they're just spread a little bit differently. And hepatitis A is more likely to be cleared faster. And hepatitis B can be a virus that you live with for a very long time and can lead to some serious complications.
Marianne, you're on WGN with Dr. Wheat. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my question is, I'm a 70-year-old female. I have never had chickenpox, measles, or mumps as a child. And obviously, I grew up in that time period where there were no vaccinations. I had the titer test for chickenpox, and I have no antibodies for that. So my question is, do I go ahead and get the chickenpox vaccine and then get the a shingles vaccine, which, of course, is a big thing for, people in my age group? I just don't know what to do. I've never felt fully comfortable with the advice that I've gotten previously about getting the chickenpox vaccine. And I don't know, is there an adult version of that vaccine, or
yeah,
where do I go, Dr.
Wheat? What's your go ahead?
That's a great question. If I were you, I would absolutely get the chickenpox vaccine, and I would do that because if you were to get the chickenpox right now, you would probably be fairly miserable, unfortunately. Even though some people have mild versions of the illness, some of us, I myself as a child had a really bad version of it. And particularly at 70, you're more likely to have a stronger version of it. So I would get it. And we know that it's safe in adults because we do actually give it to adults all of the time. I often, when I'm looking for women who are about to be pregnant, I make sure that they're immune to it because I don't want them to get it while they're pregnant. So my recommendation would be to get the chickenpox vaccine. And we know that it's safe.
Thank you. And then also, then after that, should I go ahead and get the shingles vaccine?
I think that's a great question and a little bit more nuanced, too. I think you're less at risk for it if you don't have the virus. But the thing that we know is that sometimes titers aren't totally correct. So if I were you, I would still get the shingles vaccine, but after you had already gotten the chickenpox vaccine.
Yeah, anyone that I know that's ever had shingles has always said, go get your shingles vaccine. You do not want to get this. Marianne, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Dr. Wheat, thank you very much. And we'll look forward to talking with you again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
You too. Thank you very much. Dr. Wheat will be joining us on the Week in Health segment in weeks to come. I want to thank Dr. Jeremy Silver, who is with us for over a year doing the segment. He will not be joining us on this segment, but he did a great job for us. And just wanted to say thank you to Dr. Silver for all that he's done.